I love the mountains. Never forget when I was just a young child, we went to the mountains. And I remember looking out over the mountains, even as a very young boy, and thinking, wow, they are totally awesome. Totally blown away by it. And I thought to myself, I would like to live in the mountains. So it's no wonder when I decided to pick a college, I picked a college in the foothills of the Smoky Mountains. And I loved living there. I loved being a student there. And I loved just, when I was there, every time I saw the mountains, I would marvel at the majesty and beauty of them. And I was very fortunate then to get a job there and to live there and to work there. And even when I did that, if I ran to the grocery store and I saw the mountains, I still admired the beauty. If I was going to the gas station and I saw the mountains, I really would. And to this day, I still love the mountains. Do you think it's possible that you could ever lose the wonder of the mountains? Well, there's some people that do. Who? The local people. Why? Because they live around the mountains all the time. They see the mountains all the time. After a while, it's really not that big a deal. And I mean, they appreciate them and they like them, but they start noticing other things like tourists. If you're living in a tourist area, Joe knows probably a little bit about this. All the locals get tired of the tourists. They're always coming in. They're jam-packing everything. The roads are packed. The guests, you can't go to the grocery store. They're always complaining about the tourists. And after a while, they don't notice the mountains anymore. I've known people that have lived, grown up around the mountains, and they move because they don't want to be around the tourists. See, they've lost the wonder of the mountains. You know, there's a beauty in a little baby. Babies are wonderful, aren't they? You couldn't possibly ever lose the wonder of that little baby, right? Well, if they keep you up all night crying, if they're sick, if a little toddler's running around everywhere going crazy, you know, the wonder kind of stretches a little bit thin there. I remember counseling with a young father. He was talking about his children and how stressed he was and how difficult time he was having. I said, now listen, I said, this is going to be difficult to hear. I said, but in about 10 years, those little toddlers crawling all over the place, they're going to be teenagers. Then they're going to be doing their own thing, and you're going to have to schedule time to see them. And then when you see them, they might not want to hang around you. So I said, try to enjoy this while you can. The wonder of children. It can wear off after a while, right? Well, we've been talking about experiencing God through Jesus Christ. We talked about how Jesus seeks us and that we have to discover Him. He wants us to discover Him. And when we discover Him, we will find a life of forgiveness and a life of peace, and we'll find out that He helps us and that He carries us along. And I've been drawing from Dutch Sheets' book, The Pleasure of His Company. I want to recommend that to you. He gives us some good insights in that. Do you think it's possible that you might lose the wonder of Jesus? Well, we do have to deal with a thing called real life. We have to deal with those stresses and those pressures and those things that come up after a while. Someone says, well, you know, if I was just in Jesus' presence, if I was in His presence, I would never lose the wonder. Well, today we're going to look in Luke chapter 10. And we're going to see an example of the fact that even somebody in the presence of Jesus could lose the wonder of Him. So I'm going to read Luke chapter 10, and I want to read verses 38 through 42. As Jesus and His disciples were on their way, He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to Him. She had her sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what He said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made, and she came to Him and asked, Lord, don't You care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, You're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, and indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. You know, when I read these verses, I'm irritated by Martha. But to really understand what's happening here, we have to see that Martha has invited Jesus to her home. She's entertaining him. And so Jesus, the gentle shepherd, the Son of God, the Messiah, is in her home. And so what is Martha doing? What would you be doing? She's cooking, she's cleaning, and she's obviously not enjoying Jesus. Maybe she's multitasking. Maybe you're good at, anybody good at multitasking here? I think Martha was a multitasker. And maybe she was listening to Jesus while she worked, and she realized that she was not the only one working. Her sister was not helping. I think we've all felt this way, haven't we? When somebody's not helping and then they should be helping. I remember growing up, my brother Andrew, I pick on him all the time, but he deserves it. Anyway, when I was growing up, he was always making excuses not to work. He was a perpetual thorn in my father's side. And he was always coming up with things, ways he could get out of work and do half of a job. And it was just a constant thing. But then a miraculous thing happened. Completely changed his life. He got married. It's amazing. He got married, and he married a workhorse of a wife. And I want to tell you right now, he is one amazing husband. He is a husband's dream. This guy works like you would never believe. Every wife would love to have a husband like him. I'm still amazed at it. I'm still marvel at the change. But I understand how Martha felt. Her sister wasn't helping. Martha is focused on things she thinks need to be done. And maybe they did at some point. But the more she works, she focuses her attention on the fact that her sister is not helping. And this happens in churches, my friends. People work in churches and they begin saying, "Yeah, I'm the only one working. Nobody's helping me." People complain that they have to do all the work. And so they get angry at church members. So what was her sister doing that was so bad? Was she playing on her phone? Was she sleeping late? No, she was listening to Jesus. And then Martha started getting irritated with Jesus. I mean, she starts thinking these thoughts. You know, Jesus is teaching, and that's fine. He's a teacher, and he should teach. And I support him, but can't he see that I need help? Why doesn't he tell my sister to help? And she's mad. She's getting upset. Doesn't he realize all that I'm doing for him? My question is, why wasn't Martha listening to him? Well, it could be that Jesus was a common visitor, that she was used to him visiting. She was used to fixing meals for him. Maybe she had heard many conversations with Jesus. Maybe she had listened for a while, and then maybe she got up and started working. The fact is, she lost the wonder. She lost the joy of his presence. How did this happen? Well, Martha is boiling over with anger and frustration at her sister, so she decides to confront Jesus. Now, I would have liked to be there for this one. But our text does reveal a few problems that we all face. So we can understand Martha very well. One problem we all face is daily distractions. It says, verse 40, "But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made." The word distracted literally means to drag around in circles. That's a good word for busyness, right? It just kind of drags you around. And not only did she face the pressure of Jesus' presence, but she was carrying around unnecessary weight. Finally, she had enough. She's going to fix the problem. She's going to remind Jesus what he has forgotten. "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." So how do you handle somebody that's unreasonable, irritating, and gets on your nerves? Well, look at what Jesus says. He just says, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things." Now, another problem we face, says right there, is worry. The idea of worry. is a divided mind, separating something. When we're worried, no matter how hard we try to focus on something else, part of our mind is drawn back to the concern in our mind, right? And I understand how Martha feels. I mean, I've experienced worry before, and I know you have. So what happens when you are constantly worried all the time? Well, that's our next problem. Irritation. The problem of irritation. The word Jesus uses is bothered. Webster defines it as disturbed. Other words are perturbed, turbulent. They're all the same word. Martha is irritated, and she burst out in order to God. Now, I'm sure that when she did this, it created a little turbulence in the room. Martha's idea, listen, she says, if you want something to eat, you better stop teaching and have Mary help me. Martha has gotten a little too familiar with Jesus. Now, he was an ordinary man, but he was still God. She let the wonder and excitement of his presence wear off. So I want to be careful here because I can be like Martha. I know what it is to be worried. I know what it is to be irritated. I know what it is to be distracted. And some of the greatest people that we love in our society, actors, entertainers, politicians, yes, even preachers, that we love, that have accomplished great things, have Martha's personality. But we must be careful because this can happen to us. After you've been a Christian for many years, you can become accustomed to Jesus. You can become very flippant. You can become demanding of Him. You've prayed to Him so often. You've heard so many sermons. You've heard so many lessons. You become busy serving Him. And you begin wondering, why aren't people helping me? Why is life so tough? And you find yourself complaining, upset with God. What happens? You're losing the perspective. This happens to preachers too. I've talked to preachers. I'm just going to give up. I'm really tired of dealing with all this stuff in the church. They've lost the wonder. But I do love the story of the man that would not get out of bed on Sunday morning. His wife was trying so hard to get him up. Tried everything to get him up. Got to flip it over there, Jake. There he is. Yeah, he's having a rough day. Just won't get up. And his wife said, honey, it's time to get up and go to church. He said, I don't want to go to church today. She says, listen, think about the children. Be an example for the children. I don't want to go to church. I'm tired of all the complainers at church. Wife said, listen, honey, you can't let the complainers get in the way. You got to go to church today. He says, I don't want to go to church. Nobody volunteers for anything in the church. Finally, the wife says, listen, honey, we got to put this to an end right now. You need to get up. You're the preacher. Yes, yes. Even preachers struggle. We all struggle. We struggle at times with distractions and worries and irritation. So how do we keep the joy, the pleasure of His company? Well, when we look at Mary, we see two ways to help us keep the wonder of Jesus in our lives. The first way is to make a daily priority to simply listen to Jesus. Sometimes we complicate things. Look at what Mary's doing. Look at verse 39. Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what He said. So what was she doing? She was listening. This is just a stronger word than we usually give it. It means to understand and to hear. It means to hear with the ear of the mind, to hear something so as to perform what is spoken. Mary's doing something more than just hearing words. She understands the message they're conveying. She's letting those words penetrate into her mind. Now, we all know what a Lego is. If you don't know what a Lego is, step on one time, and you'll find out what a Lego is. But when you see a big box of Legos, it's all scattered. It really doesn't mean anything until you actually put those individual Legos together. I saw this amazing Lego display. This was 56,000 pieces. It was put together by an 11-year-old boy with autism of the Titanic. This was an amazing display made with Legos. See, the Lego in and of itself doesn't mean anything. You can see the Lego pieces, but the pieces, when they're put together, they actually mean something. So it's more than just hearing words. We have to put them together and take them to heart. Look over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. This is the Apostle Paul, and I want you to listen to how he describes a person's devotion to Christ. He says, "But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from the sincere and pure devotion to Christ." One of the problems that we deal with in our lives is that we make life too complex, too complicated. And this is one of the tactics of the devil. But the beauty of the Christian faith is the simplicity and purity of it. Mary was just enjoying the pleasure of his company. Martha was allowing her life to be too complicated. And no matter how hectic your life gets, slow down for a period of time each day and listen to Jesus. Spend some quality time listening to him. Enjoy the pleasure of his company. Don't get away from that childlike simplicity of listening to Jesus. So how do you keep the wonder in your lives of Jesus? The second way, make it a daily priority to put Jesus above life's non-essential things. Now, I would say this is probably the most difficult thing of all. Because when you set time aside to listen to him and talk to him, that's when all the other stuff starts popping up. You will start thinking about your to-do list, things that you need at the grocery store, things that have to be done in the house. You will feel that need at that moment to go and do it. But put aside those things. Those are busy things. They're not so urgent. You're going to have time to accomplish your to-do list, and the Lord appreciates all the hard work that you're doing. He knows that you're going to be busy at times, but he wants you to sit with him for a while each day. Martha needed to slow down. Her mind was crowded. She couldn't shut off the noise. She couldn't shut off her thoughts. That's what needs to be done. Have you ever had that happen? You just can't shut your mind off. For the preacher, he's always thinking about a sermon that he wants to do. Maybe for you, it's something you need to do in your house. Maybe it's something in your yard. For Martha, it bubbled to the surface as anger and irritation. Sometimes we can just learn from the simplicity of a child. One mother was busy in her kitchen working, and her little daughter was just talking to her, going on and on, talking about everything in her life. And the mother said, and she kept working and doing everything. And just every time the child, after a while, the mother would say, and she'd keep on doing her things, thinking about everything else. Finally, the little girl knew her mom wasn't really listening. Finally, pulled on her, got her attention. She was looking at her, and she said, "Mama, why don't you talk for a while, and I'll say, How often is the Lord trying to speak to us? But we're unwilling to listen. We don't hear. We don't let it sink in. Our mind is on the urgent things. Let me give you an example. How many of you, when the phone rings, you have to answer? I'm always amazed at this. You have to answer. You have to pick up the phone. Okay. Here's another one. When your notifications go off on your phone and you hear that it's a text message, how many of you have to read the text? You just have to see what it is. How about an instant message? It just pops up on your phone and you're like, "Oh, I wonder what they want." How many of you feel led to just, I gotta see. It's probably not important, but I gotta see. It might be important. You see how the unimportant things can become more important than they really are. Mary focused on the words of Jesus. Her attitude, which I'm sure drove her sister crazy, was, "If he wants something to eat, he'll stop teaching. And until he does, I'm not getting up." She was mesmerized by Jesus. For me, the key strategy is to pick the quietest time, which for me is in the morning. There's no usually no interruptions in the early morning. If I'm going to be busy, I'll wake up extra early. Now, if I get a call early in the morning, you and I know, that usually means it's pretty important. And I'll take the call. But one thing that's really helped me is when I set time aside for the Lord, I do this before I turn on the TV, before I turn on the radio, before I look at social media, I spend time with the Lord. I don't even look at those things. Now, if it's something for my daughter that's there, it looks like it might be important, I'm going to look at that. But other than that, I'm not going to let those things take over my time for the Lord. Now, don't misunderstand, there's going to be busy times. There's going to be times when things pile up, when it's a challenge to get everything done. It's okay to multitask, just not when you're talking to Jesus. He comes first. I want you to look at these words one more time from Luke 10. And then verses 40 and 41. Actually, 41 and 42. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Jesus tells Martha, worried about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. What's the one essential thing that we need? Well, we already know our essentials, right? You need food, you need water, you need shelter, you need oxygen. And today we add other things like pleasure and comfort and happiness. And Jesus says you just need one thing. Jesus tells Martha, your sister has chosen what is better. I like other translations that say Mary has chosen the good portion. The word good can be used to describe good works. Jesus is describing what Mary's doing as a good work. So what is Mary doing? She's listening to Jesus. Just listening to Jesus ranks very high with him. Even more than all the busy things that we want to do. Martha was busy doing good things. But her sister was doing something better. Mary was doing something that would enable her to do the most good. And this is a truth that jumps out at me as I look at this passage. You can be busy doing all kinds of good things. You may even do ministry things. And you can look very productive. And you can show on a paper all the things that you've done. But if we want to do things that go on to eternity, that have genuine lasting fruit, it comes from Jesus, not us. And it flows from our relationship with Him. I think what Jesus is telling Martha, if she'll just slow down, if she'll connect with Him, everything else will fall in place. And it's so true. If you slow down and let Jesus talk to Him, you'll find order to your life. You'll find order in your relationships. You'll find a purpose for everything. But you have to take time to listen to Jesus, and you'll find that you enjoy the pleasure of His company. He'll be the source of your fulfillment. And it's amazing, but it's really simple. So what is it in your life that interrupts your joy in the Lord? What is it that gets in the way? You know, I've seen beautiful things in my life. I've seen the beauty of the mountains, which I love to look at. And I never have lost the wonder. Whenever I get to travel and see those mountains, I still love them. They still mean so much to me. I still love the wonder and joy of a beautiful child. I still remember my little baby in arms. I still love looking at babies and children. But do you know what's even more beautiful than all that? What means even more than all that? It's the times that I have talked to the Lord. And I talk to Him every day. And He helps me and He gives me much beauty. And there's been times I've talked to the Lord while I've overlooked the mountains. And there's been times when I have sat beside my daughter's crib and prayed. Don't ever lose the wonder of the Lord. Don't lose the joy and excitement of talking to Him, because it will reap wonderful dividends to your life. But I realize there's probably stresses and worries in your life, just like we all have to deal with. What I've learned in my life is that Jesus can handle it all. But I also know what it is to be overrun by things you're worried about and things that you're stressed about and situations that don't seem like they're working out and you don't know what to do. Jesus can handle it. He can handle all those things if you'll just give them to Him. Let Him carry your burdens. Let Him walk with you. But we have to choose to invite Him in. Remember, He's knocking on the door. We have to open the door of our hearts. We have to invite Him in. We have to walk with Him. Maybe you've been walking a little bit on the road of worry and you've been too worried about things or stress. Or maybe you've had things that just seem they're too big for you. If you walk with Jesus, He'll help you. He'll make everything okay. So we're going to have our song of invitation. Let's all stand. And this is just a beautiful chorus, and you'll remember this real well here.